In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, in addition to our celebration of the resurrection, which we celebrate every Sunday, we celebrate the great feast of the entrance of the Mother of God into the temple. What we commemorate on this feast is an event that happened when Mary was 3 years old, according to tradition. And she went with her family to visit the temple, and Zechariah, the texts say, seemed to be out of his mind. He didn't know, it was totally inexplicable what he did, but he led the Mother of God into the place which is called the Holy of Holies, as you can guess from the name, the holiest place in the temple. It was a place where only the high priest would enter once a year to offer sacrifice for the people, to ask God to forgive the people's sins. The Jews took this so seriously that they would tie a rope around the high priest when he went in, because if something were to happen to him, if he were overcome by the presence of God, if he died of natural causes, he had some sort of a health problem and passed out, no one else was allowed to go in there. So they would, so holy was the place that no one would enter it but him. And yet Zechariah brought the Mother of God back into the temple, obviously prefiguring that she was to become the Holy of Holies. In other words, she was to become filled with the presence of God, not just in a spiritual sense, as we know and as we're preparing to celebrate, as we've begun the Nativity fast, but in the very real sense that she brought God the Word into this world to become flesh, to take up on himself what we have, everything that we have, except, of course, he did not sin. And so that is the feast, brothers and sisters, that we celebrate today. And it's interesting, many people have pointed this out to me, the reading that we have on the feast of the Mother of God. We heard it today, the reading at Matins, if you were here, the reading from the Epistle, and the reading from the Gospel this morning at Liturgy. It's the same for all of the feasts of the Mother of God. And people say this is an interesting selection because many people today, in reading Luke's Gospel, and hearing about this woman from the crowd who said, "Blessed is the womb who bore you and the breast that you suck." And Jesus replied and said, "No, blessed rather is he who hears the word of God and keeps it." Many people say, when they're reading this, that this is a sign that we shouldn't venerate or honor the Mother of God for being the Mother of God. But yet here we are in the Orthodox Church, clearly venerating the Mother of God, having a feast day for her, having the icon for her, and yet we read this exact passage. Why is that? And the reason for that is because we honor the Mother of God, not just because she was the Holy of Holies in the sense that she brought God into the world, but because of the way that she actually lived her life, which of course is why God chose her to become the Mother of God out of all women that have ever lived and ever will live on the face of this earth. He chose her because of her holy life. What does it mean to live a holy life? We heard it today in this Gospel reading. And what's even more interesting is if you look at it, I think it's probably numbered there in the bulletin. The reading begins, I believe it's in chapter 10. There's a few verses about Mary and Martha. And then we skip ahead to that last part. A whole chapter we skip. And we get to the part where this woman from the crowd says, "Blessed is the womb who bore you." And where Jesus says, "No, blessed rather is he who hears the word of God and keeps it." So these are actually two different sections, but they're combined by one thing. And the first is when we hear about Mary, who is the sister of Martha, not the Mother of God, also the sister of Lazarus. We hear that Mary is praised by Christ. Why? Because she sat at his feet and she listened to him, To sit at someone's feet means to become their disciple, to submit yourselves to their teaching. And she didn't just hear him. Remember what Jesus said. Not he who hears the word of God, but he who hears it and does it. When we hear that she listened, it doesn't mean that she just heard it, let it go in one ear and out the other, like we sometimes do, but she listened. She took it to heart. And she went out and did God's will. And then also then we hear at the end of the gospel, again, this connection between two separate stories, that Jesus said, "Blessed is the one who not only hears the word of God, but keeps it, who goes out and does the will of God." And again, this, brothers and sisters, is why we so highly venerate the Mother of God. What is it to hear the word of God and to keep it? I've preached time and again in my sermons, in the Bible studies, on the podcasts, that fundamentally to hear the word of God and to keep it means that we would do what? What we heard from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We would take up our cross and follow Him. And that we would not be ashamed to do this. Because again, the ultimate punishment of this world is not the physical pain, but is the shame, the suffering of the loss of our dignity, of our honor, to be humiliated before others. And this is what Christ was willing to do, even to the humiliation of the cross. And His mother kept the word of God by herself being willing to submit to being shamed. And it took her doing this to bring Him into the world. Because as we read, she lived in the temple for about 9 years. Again, she went in there at the age of 3. And so she left 12, 13 years old. And she was roughly 13 or 14 years old when she accepted this amazing proposition. You see it on the holy doors when we close them at communion. You see the Annunciation, where the Archangel Gabriel comes to her with this message that she was to receive God the Word. Again, a young 13, 14-year-old child. And she was betrothed, not yet married to Joseph. She was betrothed to him for protection. A woman needed protection in the ancient society of a man to be in his household. And so this proposition that the Mother of God accepts, she says, "Let it be to me according to your word," that she would bear Christ, means that she becomes pregnant outside of wedlock at a time and in a society where at the very least, one would be severely shunned and shamed, put away. Maybe sometimes your relatives would send you off to another town so that you wouldn't shame them. People did that not that long ago in this country. Some of you have family members who went through that. But even possibly could have been stoned to death. Think about the story of Jesus and the adulterous woman and how they wanted to stone her. Yet the Mother of God submits to the Word of God, both spiritually and physically, by allowing Him to come into her. She allows herself to be shamed. She allows herself to be physically threatened by taking into her womb the Savior of this world, who she brought forth to us. And again, we'll be celebrating soon at the Feast of the Nativity. And so this, brothers and sisters, is why we so highly honor the Mother of God. Not just because she physically bore Christ, but she also submitted to His teaching, and therefore we have this icon of her. We honor her in hymns and in songs, her feast days, as a model for us to submit to her Son, who is our God. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.